Sure, well, sure. if you'd like to dream big, go to Chili's in a matching sweatsuit with whoever you dine with.
Mm-hmm.
It worked well for us.
I feel like...
Specifically on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we had a Valentine's Day matching sweatsuit.
Done.
Welcome to The Snack Show with Jamie Fallon.
We're just a couple gals snacking our way through life and talking about it.
This is your first time in a podcast studio?
I just laid the snack down is what I'm saying. Jamie, why in the HE Double Pretzel Sticks did we start a podcast?
That's a great question that I don't remember the answer to.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, snackers!
Hola!
Okay, you might be wondering, if you're on video, what is happening?
Why are Jamie and Fallon snuggling?
We're snuggling. Well, we have a surprise for you. Sometimes there's technical difficulties on a podcast, but we do not make that stop us.
In the year of our Lord 2023, we will press on.
Yes, we will forge ahead. We have our good friend, Michael Ornelas.
Hello.
From... The Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, y'all. This is big, big news. Michael, will you say hi to our friends?
Hello, friends.
He is in our earbuds, loud and clear. I feel like a reporter, honestly, like an infield reporter.
I'm having a crisis because AirPods don't stay in my tiny eardrum, so
oh,
I'm going to
no.
just keep doing this like I'm...
a little Mariah Carey.
Yeah, like I'm Mariah Carey, and it's Christmas time, guys.
I so wanted to give here. You all the toughest recording experience possible. Actually, I wanted to give you the most mediocre one to be my brand.
Sure.
But I think sure. I'm falling short.
You have to stay on brand. No, you're doing a great job.
We're doing great.
Well, Michael, we are so excited to have you. Obviously, our worlds collided because of the love of food and snacking and
in the podcasting world.
And really mediocre. I mean, we talk, it's not anything fancy. All snacks are welcome.
Food of the people.
We are very humble. So we are excited to share our experiences. Michael, tell us more about Fine Dining and your search for the most mediocre restaurant in America. How did this passion start? Tell us more.
I mean, honestly, I bought a GoPro camera in 2016 and I was at an Outback Steakhouse with a buddy of mine. And I was like, what if we attached these to our heads, documented the chain restaurant experience, and then rated them on a scale of 4 to 6 because that's what they deserve. And that friend promptly was like, no, that's stupid. So I sat on the idea for another 6 years, found another friend. He was my co-host for the first season. Now I'm launching season 2, and it's a solo endeavor as I'm out there just trying to hit literally every chain restaurant that has some sort of national presence. I'm 40 plus episodes deep, depending on when this comes out. And
sure.
It's killing me.
Physically, emotionally, mentally?
All of the above. I mean, especially physically. You know, my eye twitches more than it used to. My fingers go numb.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. So we really have to thank Outback Steakhouse for the inspiration.
Yeah, a GoPro and Outback is really how every good dream starts. So,
And probably how at least a few lives have ended.
Truly. Now tell us, was there a bloomin' onion involved?
So I am on record as saying that the bloomin' onion is the pinnacle of chain restaurant food. I think it is the best appetizer you're going to find at any of these places. Has no business being near mediocrity, other than just like conceptually. It's conceptually just like a what are
sure.
we doing with our lives kind of idea. But,
sure.
you know, yeah, I love the
bloomin'
onion.
It's part of the American dream is really what I think it is.
It's so American.
Well, that's the funny thing. It's the American dream and we're talking Outback.
Right.
Which, can we claim that? I don't think
we
can.
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely can. There is no authentic Australian-ness to Outback. It is America's idea of Australia.
I would love for every Australian that lives in America to raise their hand if they've been to an Outback, and I don't think many hands are going up.
No, no.
Unless they've been, and like, Michael, unwillingly to be honest, dragged there.
Sure.
Yeah.
To be honest, I've only been to an Outback once in my entire life, and I can't even promise you that I had a Bloomin' Onion.
I think you owe it to yourself to go have one, but I'm not going to scold you. Like, I get, until I did this podcast, I had only been inside of an Applebee's one time. So,
oh, there you go. And I love Applebee's. Now, I could talk Applebee's all day long. Is that one of your top visits, would you say?
Well, it's one of my most, it is my actual definitively most middling visit. It is currently the record holder for mediocrity. It's at a 5.02 out of 10. So
yes,
I can fine tune a little more and find a place that may be a little bit more mediocre, but it's going to take a heavy hitter to dethrone Applebee's.
Is Chili's above or below Applebee's? Because we did a really big Applebee's versus Chili episode.
Oh, I listened to your Applebee's versus Chili's episode.
What did you think? Did you agree?
Well, I mean, didn't you come out, I think, Jamie, you said you like picked 50-50 on like which dish you would rather have. Did you declare a winner?
I declared Chili's for me. I think we both, did we?
I think overall we declared Chili's was probably the winner, but nostalgia purposes for me personally, Applebee's won.
So I grew up on Chili's. I'm actually, I spent a large part of my childhood in Austin, Texas, where there's just a ton of Chili's around, and there was one right down the street from me. I love me a Chili's. If I had to pick a winner, it would be Chili's. That said, for the podcast, I haven't done Chili's yet. I'm saving it for a special occasion. I don't know if it'll be episode 50, episode 100.
Sure.
I have no idea, but I don't want to show my hand too early on Chili's.
Sure.
Well, if you'd like to dream big, go to Chili's in a matching sweatsuit with whoever you dine with.
Mm-hmm.
It worked well for us.
I feel
specifically on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we had a Valentine's Day matching sweatsuit.
Done.
Okay, Michael, I want to know. I know you said you've been to almost 40. I want to know your top three most mediocre places you visited and some highlights of dishes from each of these restaurants. Can you give that to us?
Okay, so I'm going to cheat a little. I'm not going to go by the numbers, because if I'm going by the numbers, I would just give you the three that are closest to center. I've got this giant scoreboard behind me that I'll send you guys a picture that you can post on your video feed. But I've got a giant wall tchotchke called the Tchotchke of Mediocrity, and it's got like all the wall tchotchkes you would find at these places, a boomerang, a Hooters fanny pack, a surfboard, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
And right in the middle of it, you've got that like big star that says 5.0. So closest to center are Applebee's, Waffle House, and I guess I can't read.
He's looking at the board right
now. Bob's Big Boy. But
yes, Bob's Big Boy.
Don't get me started on Bob's. The ranking for that was so biased. We went with my mom, who had a ton of nostalgia for it, and she really like pumped up the rating. It should be lower. I'm gonna go on record and say I don't have a lot of love for Bob's. I think it's a below mediocre place.
Okay, well let's start there. What about Bob? Was it the food? You're just like, this is trash. Was it the ambiance? What are you scoring on, by the way?
So,
what is your scoring
system? Or is it
system?
More than that?
It's the atmosphere, the service, and the food. So service is a big X factor, because you can have a server that's like awful and tank your experience, or vice versa. You could have really bad food, but someone with a great smile hands it to you and you're like, yeah, but I like you.
Sure.
Bob's, we did probably have one of the worst servers that we've had. He was like just weirdly like just snubbing the entire table. He had all the tables around us, and he would do like five visits at each of them before coming over to us. To be fair, I had like a pencil mustache and a beret on because I stood outside for like an hour and a half and made a painting of the restaurant beforehand. And then my mom, who also painted it with me, also had a pencil drawn mustache and a beret on, so we looked creepy.
Sure.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't visit your table as often either, just for safety.
I feel like we're more fun, but you know, that's that's my read on it.
Right.
But I don't know. I've just, the food has not really done anything for me. They don't have anything that's like a standout. We actually went back. I did a Septemberger tournament And I went to eight different burger places to crown a winner. And, you know, Bob's had another chance, still didn't really do it for me. But if there's any mediocre place I want to highlight, it's Olive Garden.
Okay. We can, we're, I'm Italian, so
AKA where I celebrated my birthday several years in a row in middle school.
Let's talk. Let's talk.
So I want to talk Olive Garden because it was also only my second time in an Olive Garden when I went for the podcast. And I was so inspired by it that I ended up making a 7-song musical about that night at Olive Garden.
Does that exist for the public to consume?
Yes. Where do we find this?
That is the Olive Garden episode of the Fine Dining Podcast.
Okay, great. So, Can't wait.
7 original songs, and I sent back their calamari. I thought that was bad.
Oh, no. What did you say? Were you like, it's too...
It was, you're like, when we're too, here, too we're rubbery. Family, and I don't want it.
It was kind, it was kind of texturally inedible, and we're just like... We're not touching it. So, like, we took a few bites. We're not going to eat more. Let's just see if they'll take it off the check. And they did. They were, you know, they were fine about it. So,
it is a real close journey to tires, their calamari.
Yeah. But it does come with a nice dipping of marinara.
Yeah,
and,
but if you dip it,
so if you dip
a
tire.
Don't even
notice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
okay. What did you get at Olive Garden?
So,
besides the rubbery calamari.
I got God, this was so long ago. I think it was like the pasta marinara with the crispy chicken fritter on top. And the chicken was actually, for a chain restaurant, I was impressed by it. And let's see. We got the calamari, the breadsticks.
Did you do bottomless salad and breadsticks?
Not salad. I did do the soup. I got a minestrone that I actually quite liked.
Okay.
The breadsticks.
Their salad,
is so good. I can't believe you didn't.
You can buy
salad.
That dressing.
There's only
to take
so
home
much
for yourself.
Space in my stomach. Okay, calamari, breadsticks, dipping sauce, which they charge extra for, and we wrote a song about corporate greed for charging you for the sauce, but the breadsticks are free.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Now I'm looking at the menu. Now I'm noticing they have something quite fancy, in my opinion, lasagna fritta, which means fried lasagna. Please tell me you tried this.
Okay, so I'm about to get blackballed from your podcast with my next admission.
No. Okay, our seatbelts are on.
I don't like cheese.
I have a friend I'd like you to meet. That's what I have to say, because I have a friend that hates cheese. You guys can be best friends.
Is it a girl?
Mm-hmm.
Are you single, Michael?
I am not single, but...
terrible news.
No,
but
no,
great
no.
Friend.
But my girlfriend likes cheese, so I can just give the cheese to her when there is cheese. So.
Oh, that's a great plan.
That's actually a great... that's a great couple.
Yeah,
that's what we call mofo you here at the pod.
Yeah.
Can really pass it along to the next person.
Right. What about the cheese? What about cheese? What is it? Is it smell?
So...
Is it your stomach?
This is going to sound so dramatic. I had traumatic incidents as a kid. And by that, I just mean I got grossed out a couple times by cheese in like a way that just stuck with me. But my brother used to microwave bags of like cheddar cheese to pour on steamed broccoli. And it was just the most pungent smelling thing. I would come home from school and just like the entire house would reek. And then my parents would sometimes make those boxed au gratin potatoes. And like the ones from the box, those are going to be awful. So just those were very, I could smell them from upstairs in my room and they bothered me. And I was just like, I swear off of cheese. I don't like cheese. It's gross. I stopped eating Doritos from that moment on. But like, I know it's psychological because I ate Doritos and liked them. I still eat pizza and just overlook the fact that there's cheese on it. That said, I don't like pizza that is like too cheesy, but like it's like the one thing that got grandfathered in is pizza.
I'm glad to hear that. I would be sad to hear a lot.
Okay,
of pizza.
I feel shocked that you want to highlight an Italian restaurant when you don't like cheese.
It's more that when you write a musical about something, it obviously stood out to you in some regard. So the fact that, I mean, it wasn't a great experience, but I mean, if the podcast has taught me anything, if a place is terrible, it also gives me something to talk about. So I no longer mind going to a restaurant and having it be underwhelming or disappointing or anything like that.
I get it. Now, are we going to get any sampling of this musical live on the Snack Show podcast? Michael?
You can say no, Michael. Don't let her peer pressure.
Here's the thing. Hold on. So here's the thing. One, I brought in some singers that are way better singers than I am to like guest star.
Okay.
And two, this was like over a year ago, so it's just not fresh in my memory. If it was fresh in my memory, I would absolutely.
You would 5, 6, 7, 8 that.
Oh, you betcha. I'd have a cane and a top hat and I would do a number.
Okay, so my Olive Garden, the really important thing I'd like to know if you tried is the Tour of Italy.
The Tour of Italy I did not try.
There's a lot of cheese on the Tour of Italy.
It is chicken parmesan, spaghetti, and lasagna, because that was my go-to in middle school because I got to order a thing, but I got three things for that one thing.
That sounds obscene. Like,
so
that's too much.
It's my birthday, and I can have three. I can have a whole tour of Italy if I want to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you'd never said, what did the score get? What did Olive Garden get
so
on the
Olive Garden score? Ended up at 5.10. And at the time, it was only episode 7 of the podcast. So at the time, that was by far the closest to mediocrity. The first few episodes, we were just missing the mark entirely. Like, Outback got over a 7. Buffalo Wild Wings got under a 4. Old Spaghetti Factory got over a 6. So it took us a while to hone in on mediocrity. And then Olive Garden just came slamming in. And we just were like, let's make a little razzmatazz about this. Let's, you know.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, I know we're focusing on the mediocrity, but I am curious, what's the high scoring restaurant?
Yeah, what's the highest and the lowest scoring?
Okay,
I'd like to know both.
They're related. Actually, that's not true.
Okay.
But there is a low one that is related.
He's just lying.
I'm lying. You know, like comedy. Like joking. Have you heard of Sizzler?
Of course.
100%.
So, Sizzler, awful. Not the worst we've been to, but we were so fed up with that bad steak that we decided to go to Mastro's Steakhouse, which is like a top tier, like, it was hundreds of dollars, that bill. We were just like, I need good food. So I went to Mastro's, bit the bullet, and that's at a 9.45 out of 10.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And then the worst, where are you guys based out of?
We're in Nashville, Tennessee.
You're in Nashville. Do you know Mr. Gaddy's Pizza?
No.
Never heard of her.
So,
or him.
I think they have locations in Kentucky, but they're basically a Texas chain, and they have expanded kind of in your direction. There might be one in Tennessee, but they're just a pizza place. I grew up on them, but they have 5 locations called Gaddy Town. And it's like a sad attempt at mixing like Chuck E. Cheese with a Dave and Buster's, but it doesn't know if it wants to be for kids or not. You know, bad cafeteria overhead, fluorescent lighting. You know, pudding shouldn't look gray on a buffet line, but it did here. That is the lowest rating.
Oh, Mr. Gaddy's. We're looking at a map here, and there's one, it looks like, to the west of us.
There's one in Kentucky, northwest of us, and then there's a couple in East Tennessee. But
road trip.
Unfortunately, not one. Yeah,
I know. I need to try it.
A road trip for the worst thing you've ever had.
Why not?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we would like it. Obviously, someone likes it if Mr. Gaddy's is still around.
Okay, but what like Chuck E. Cheese is it?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How is it like Chuck E. Cheese?
He just said it's like a Dave and Buster's.
They have
there's
an arcade.
Like
they,
activities.
Yeah, there's not a mascot or anything, which honestly, I don't know what they could do for a mascot with the name like Gaddy. It just it just doesn't
just
lend itself.
An Italian man.
Yeah, just an Italian guy like holding his hands up.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mostly wanted to know, is there anything animatronic and is there skee ball?
There is.
Those two things would
there is skee ball.
Get me on a road trip.
There is not an animatronic.
Okay. See, the animatronics honestly were my favorite part. I was very fascinated by that Chuck E. animatronic.
So I loved it.
I went to Chuck E. Cheese for the podcast, and I took my then 13-year-old, I mean, I call her my niece. She's my second cousin, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
But I was like, yeah, if I'm going to Chuck E. Cheese, I have to show up with a kid or it's weird.
Yeah.
And they didn't have animatronics.
Yeah, they've pulled a lot of them in the last decade or so.
It was like,
it's not as,
it was like a projector with Chuck E. YouTube videos.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, that's not the same.
It's certainly not.
Oh, okay, I'm sad. All right, I have to ask you something.
Hit me.
One of my favorite restaurants on the planet is mediocre at best.
Sure.
We would probably say. I'm looking at
Jamie. She's giving it a higher score than I'm going to give you, Michael.
And I'm just curious if it has made your search list, and if not, I think you need to edit ASAP. Have you been to the oh-so-glorious Long John Silver's?
No, not yet. It is in my sphere of awareness of restaurants that I will do. I actually looked it up the other week to see where the closest one to me is. It might be
Have you been to one before?
I don't know. So
okay, I'm excited for you. I'm excited. Don't listen to the chatter around it, Michael. I want you to come in with your own perspective, your own excitement, and be fulfilled, as I think you will be.
I wish that it was not in my sphere of awareness is what I wish.
Jamie really hates it. I really love it.
I'll say this. I think I have been, but I don't think I ate any of the things that people would get, because I went when I was a kid and I didn't start eating anything that was like seafood until, I don't know, 5 years ago. I was a very picky eater, and I've really expanded
my
horizons.
Oh, Michael, don't let that stop you.
Fallon.
No, don't let that stop you.
Fallon eats chicken from
my
there.
My favorite thing on the menu is the chicken. That's what I go
That's probably what I got then.
I'm telling you, what forget KFC and Popeyes.
Plank
they're
tendies?
Called planks.
Oh, planks, just planks.
And I'm just saying, forget your you know, regularly known chicken fried places. I'm telling you, the secret best fried chicken, Long John Silver's.
Well, have you had Dave's Hot Chicken?
Who's Dave? And no.
Oh, I'm looking on their website. They don't have one in Tennessee. I mean, it is a
all these places.
It's a Nashville hot chicken style
started
place.
Here.
I know.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Can I give you a fun fact about Nashville style hot chicken?
Please.
So, Nashville style hot chicken. I'm actually going to look up the guy's name. Give me.
Started at Prince's.
Give me 14 seconds.
One, two, three.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Oh, Chicago's
Four.
The closest Dave's.
All right, I needed less than that.
Oh, great.
I'm sorry. Did you say Prince's?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. That was the name I was looking up. So,
great.
Yeah, I was trying to help you.
Do you know the origin of, like, how the hot chicken came to be?
I do. I have heard the story. I wonder if we're thinking of the same story. It's a girlfriend was trying to get back at her boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
She like super spiced up.
Tell the people.
Okay. Nashville hot chicken invented in the 1930s. Thornton Prince was a womanizer who's, I have it on my sources that she was his wife, but you say girlfriend.
Okay.
I don't know which one is true.
Wife is probably better.
But
lover.
She finally had enough one night after she caught him cheating. As revenge, she made a super spicy version of the fried chicken that he loved, hoping to trick him into burning his taste buds, but she failed because he actually loved the taste. They broke up, and then he got rich bringing that recipe public.
Now, that's where I have questions, is why did she give him the recipe?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe he just
cross-engineered it. And how would he know how to make it?
Maybe he just dug through the trash and he just found, oh, these are the peppers. Yeah.
Well, if you ever come to Nashville, you can come to Prince's because it's still here.
Mm-hmm. Is it good?
People love it. I personally don't do spicy, so I don't like hot chicken, but people rave about it.
I have eaten a raw ghost pepper before, so we are different, you and I.
Whoa.
It wasn't fun.
Fallon sometimes thinks pepper's too spicy.
It is.
Oh, like just like
don't get me wrong.
Table pepper, just like shake pepper?
Yes. Yeah, table pepper, yeah. Too much.
Uh-huh.
That's very funny.
Okay, can we do a pivot to one of the top three most mediocre you mentioned we haven't talked about, Waffle House?
Yeah.
Now, I would guess from all my Waffle House experiences that the score would be food not great, but personnel service outstanding. Did you have a different experience?
Yes, I did. But here's the thing. Waffle House has such a small menu. It's waffles, it's eggs, bacon, sausage, and it's hash browns.
Smothered, covered, and buttered, or whatever. Yeah. Is that the list?
They do like six things. I feel that they do them well enough. I was impressed by the food there, but not in a way where it's like, oh, you gotta have Waffle House. But I had low expectations, and I've found that expectations being totally surpassed really biases how you view it. So I am biased into liking Waffle House because it surpassed my low expectations. My server was like kind of like a seemed like, not actually saying he was this, but seemed like a stoner kid who is moving at like the most middling pace possible, to where he was always working but never working quickly.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. He was moving in his head, but
you were getting
really
the correct Waffle House experience.
And then
then
the environment was chaos because it was midnight the Saturday before last year's Halloween. And
well, I was just going to ask, what time did you go? And you went at the right exact
time. Oh, yeah. So many, just everyone there was in a costume. It was absolute chaos. Me and my then co-host came in with notebooks because we're always, you know, taking notes of the restaurants that we're in. And I'm pretty sure management thought we were health inspectors because he started yelling at all the other employees to like pick up the work and started cleaning stuff up.
Oh my gosh. Maybe that should be your new shtick. Like, you dress up as a health inspector in every restaurant you go and you'll just get complete upgraded service.
So you mean
But then you're
fraud?
Not getting the true mediocre experience.
Sure, sure. You say fraud, I say, hey, Halloween year round.
I will say, when I went to Outback, it was the first and one of very few places where they very distinctly noticed that they were being reviewed. And the manager kind of came over to like check in and like, how's everything doing? And I could see him like angling his head so that his eye line could be parallel with the page that I was writing.
With the notes.
And
trying to cheat.
I asked him like, oh, we got our Bloomin' Onion, but there's no like plates. Could we get plates, please? And he like is like, oh, yeah, right away. Turns around and like in a way that you would only see in like a sitcom. I don't think he like hit himself in the head, but he went stupid. And I don't know if he was referring to himself or his server, but
my God! Hopefully himself. Let's just.
But
think
either
it's
way,
himself.
That's so sad.
We did get a different server from that point forward, though. We didn't ask for it, but our server did change.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're based out of California.
Yes.
How much traveling are you having to do to visit these places? Because I grew up on the West Coast, and I know that there's just a lot of things that exist here in the South that I didn't know about till I lived in Nashville.
So there are a lot of chains that exist in other parts of the country that have like one location somewhere within a drivable range for me. Like, there have been certain ones that really surprised me. There's a place called Freddy's Frozen Custard that a buddy of mine in Kansas really loves. And there's one in Victorville, which is like it's a bit of a drive, probably 2 to 2.5 hours for me, but that's still closer than having to travel to Kansas. That said, I have done a week in Austin, Texas. I've done a few restaurants in New York City that are coming up. And
nice.
I was in Boston a couple weeks ago and decided to hit Friendly's. I don't know if you guys know Friendly's.
Never been to Friendly's.
I've heard of it, but I've never been.
So, and then I've gone up to like San Francisco several times. So, my plan is to eventually, like, I want to go to different parts of the country and try all their stuff and all that. So slowly but surely.
I love it.
But there's a lot here.
And so on your show, do you focus on one restaurant per episode and you just kind of give a review of your experience? You talk about the food, the service,
yeah,
the ambiance, probably some funny stories here and there.
Honestly, it's way more centric about the funny stories. The food review is kind of just a part of it. But,
sure.
A breakdown of the atmosphere.
I
like to paint it this way. I'm changing the format up for season two to where I'm actually going to be doing two parts per episode. The first part will give you the history and background of the restaurant. And then the second will be, here's what it's like to go to the place. So everything from, stuff happening in the parking lot beforehand to what do you see in the lobby to what's on the walls, trying to paint a picture. You know, a place can have its rating brought down based on unpleasant conversation of other tables, which isn't their fault, but they did attract that clientele, and that does speak to them a little bit. So
Sure. Well, I know our listeners will appreciate that because we have a whole history segment on our show usually when we talk about different snacks, just like where they came from, how did the business start. And so I love to hear that you'll be sharing some good history.
Yeah.
Fal is our
gotta know your
pod
roots.
Historian.
You gotta know.
Yeah. And then I'll go into silly little audio drama segments. Like if something inspires me, there's a lot of skits and sketches. We had chairs that were really, really heavy at Johnny Rockets, inexplicably heavy. Don't know why, but we then...
I know exactly the chairs you're talking about.
Yeah.
Those metal with the, squishy top. Yep.
Yeah, and we just, theorized, is it an anti-theft measure? And then I decided, okay, I'm going to make an audio drama that's basically an Ocean's 11 skit of trying to, steal these chairs. So there's a lot of stuff like that in the podcast as well.
How fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
All right, snackers, you've got to head over to the show. This just sounds like a ball of fun. Obviously, Michael is approved on our end.
Heck,
so make sure you check out his show, subscribe, follow, all the things. Before we leave, Michael.
Yes.
We like to do a really fun segment on our show, and we're so glad you're here for it, because it's time for Snack of the Week. There's also music playing behind us right now.
Hold on. I'm going to say Snack of the Week and then take that audio and plug it into when you guys said Snack of the Week. So it sounds like we were all in it together. Or just leave this part in and make me sound silly. Either one. Throw me under the bus if you want.
We'll let our editor choose and post.
Yeah.
You do it. Okay, Michael, since you are our guest.
Yeah.
We want you to go first with your Snack of the Week.
So can I talk about two snacks?
Yes, but make sure you talk about the one we talked about.
Yes, of course.
So, wait, did you guys do something beforehand?
We might have a surprise.
We
for me?
Might
yes.
have a surprise. But before we do that, I want to talk about
this at all.
I like letting the surprise simmer a little bit.
Sure.
Great. Even worse. Keep going.
So the surprise we have for you is something that I would eat nonstop during my middle school, high school years. And also during that time, Chex Mix had a flavor that I would also eat all the time. And so I want to talk about both of them. One of them still exists. One of them does not.
Chex
Mix one does not exist anymore. But did either of you guys ever have Peanut Lovers Chex Mix?
No.
It had.
No, I think I've eaten Chex Mix once in my whole life.
I usually go for the bold flavor Chex Mix.
Bold's great. I love me a bold, but Peanut Lovers, it had actual salted honey roasted peanuts in it. And it had the best peanut powder dust on the corn Chex ever. It was one of my favorite snacks. The bag would smell terrible when you'd open it up. It would be doesn't smell great.
Sure.
It was so tasty. So I would have that all the time. But then the other thing that I would eat all the time that made you smell really bad, New York style garlic bagel crisps.
I'm bringing them out for Jamie to see. I got a 3-pack.
Oh, okay.
So you get one,
great.
I get one, and our engineer Anthony can have one. Okay, we have them here. So you just tell us everything about these New York style bagel crisps.
Okay, so I'm going to not undercut myself entirely, but I loved these growing up, and then they made a change, and I haven't been able to find them in stores since that change. But they used to be like actual bagel chips that would have the little bagel hole in the middle of them. And just something about the way it broke apart and made the texture was a little bit different than this. This feels like something you put out at a party and it's meant for like mm-hmm. a dip or something like that. The ones that I used to have, I'm really struggling. These bags are terrible. Like it's
We got ours open.
Mine open in one. I'm really strong. I work out so I can open up chip bags.
It's more that like whenever, at least in my experience, when I open this bag, I am tearing it down the front of its face. Like I'm never opening it where the crease actually is meant to be. I had a whole bag of, because I got the 3-pack as well. They only sell it in the 3-pack. So I had a whole bag of these yesterday to like pregame for this.
Sure.
They are a lot saltier than I remember. So
they're really good.
But
is they're not too garlicky, you know? Mm-hmm. Like they have enough of a hint of garlic that's like, oh yeah, a little garlic crisp, but it's not overwhelming where I'm like, oh my God, I need to brush my teeth ASAP.
Yeah. Is it
they've also got some recipes on the back, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Cream cheese with tomato and basil. So just put a little cream cheese. Cut a little half a tomato, and then put basil in there. And then goat cheese and tapenade.
Tapenade.
Spread goat cheese on a bagel chip, which I love goat cheese. And tapenade is like, it could be like an olive, tomato.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe corn mixture.
They don't have anything for us that don't like cheese. I feel unseen.
Mm. You know what?
Do you know
I
what?
Think
actually,
some hummus.
This would be...
I think some hummus.
No. I just got the vegan buffalo dip from Trader Joe's.
Ooh,
you dip these in those, good. And it's dairy-free, so you're going to be into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Jamie, I'll let you know, when Michael told me this was going to be his snack of the week, he said, you got to go to Amazon fast because there's only one bag left, and I got the last 3-packer.
Wow. I'm really proud of you, Fel.
Dedication.
It's true. He said, you better go, and I went right there.
Do they sell these in stores anywhere?
I haven't found them in years, but when I do, it's like a thing where I'm just like, oh, and I like go and I just hug all of them and put them all in my cart. I don't care how many it is.
Sure.
They're creating a scarcity mindset. Do you think you like them more because you can't find them anywhere?
Ooh,
they're forbidden fruit.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yep, that's very interesting.
Now,
all right. Well, thank you so much. We love this snack of the week. What are we going to say?
Do your listeners like people eating into the mic, or should I be like away from the mic? I don't know what your.
We've never asked them.
Yeah, we've never asked permission. We just do
just
it anyway.
So you do you. We'll talk about our snack of the week, and you just snack alongside us. Okay.
Yeah, I got. I'm curious.
Okay, Jamie.
Yes, ma'am.
It is your turn. What is your snack of the week?
Okay, my snack of the week is a great one, and also I'm here to start a campaign.
Okay, great.
So my snack of the week is stuffing. We always call it Thanksgiving stuffing.
Sure.
So we're inching towards Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
I recently posted in the stories on the snack show that the stuffing flavored chips from Trader Joe's are in.
Have you had those, Michael?
No. Stuffing flavored chips.
Oh my God.
I am right around the corner.
Trader
from
Joe's.
One. Okay.
You need to run today because they're
seasonal.
A limited
right.
window.
They're seasonal. Bye. So you gotta go.
I also found last night. I bought 3 bags of those when I saw them. Then last night I had to run to Trader Joe's for one thing because I was cooking a meal and I found stuffing flavored popcorn. I'm gonna bring it in
no.
for us.
Right?
No, that sounds like a texture that I don't want to mix with stuffing.
No, I'm ready.
No,
I'm
you're
so
in because it's just the salt seasoning, like the see all the flavors of stuffing, but on popcorn.
But
you're
going to
be all the way in.
Huh.
But here's my campaign. Why do we call this Thanksgiving stuffing? Why can't I eat this in the month of March if I wanted to?
You do you.
You would
things.
Be shamed. So you would be shamed out of society.
And so that is that's my platform for running for president in 2024, is that stuffing should be eaten all year long. Uh-huh.
And the difference between stuffing and dressing is?
One goes inside the turkey and one does not.
Okay.
And
great.
Dressing goes, no, stuffing goes inside dressing.
Yeah, 'cause you
stuff. Okay. So dressing all year long. But when I say stuffing, I mostly mean stovetop. So
sure.
It's not going in any kind of bird. ever anyways.
Yeah.
It's going in my microwave.
Yep.
So anyways, stuffing is my snack of the week.
I love it. Honestly, Michael, if you're not at Trader Joe's right now getting those chips.
And everyone else while you're there. Oh my gosh. While you're there, they also have just in their seasoning aisle a Thanksgiving stuffing the flavors. So you could put it on your own popcorn or your own chips if you wanted to. Mm-hmm.
So they're ready.
Love that.
I'm stocked up for all things tasting like Thanksgiving stuffing forever and ever now.
Mm, I love stuffing.
Okay, Fal, what is your snack of the week?
Thank you so much for asking. We are staying seasonal with my snack of the week because my snack of the week, I said smack of the week, I meant snack of the week.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole different segment.
It's a whole,
Snack.
Yeah, smack.
Oh my gosh, what if we did that, with the tortillas and the water?
Ooh, nice.
Let's try that, Fal. Okay, anyways, what's your snack of the week?
My snack of the week is 2-ingredient pumpkin muffins. Have you guys heard of this?
What's the other ingredient?
Pumpkin
It's pumpkin puree and just any pumpkin spice cake or muffin mix.
Huh.
Okay, so you're just baking pumpkin puree.
Yeah, so pretty much you're taking the powder of the whatever baking mix you're using. I use just like a Trader Joe's pumpkin, I think it's like a pumpkin bread / muffin mix. And you don't need to use any of the oil or the eggs that they tell you to use. You literally just pair it with a can of pumpkin puree, mix it together, 350, bake it for whatever, 5-8 minutes. The most perfect, moist, delicious pumpkin muffins.
Okay.
Sold.
And people will think you did like a whole lot in the kitchen, and you literally put two things together and mixed it around a little bit, and that was it.
How did you learn about this? Did you invent this?
I did not invent this. I don't know how I learned about it. I think maybe I had a friend that brought them once, and I was like, these are delicious. How do you make them? She's like, literally, it's 2 ingredients. And I was sold from that then on.
I should make my pumpkin dip.
Yes.
Which is really just Cool Whip.
That could be the frosting on top.
That's what I'm saying.
So
and you dip your muffin in the pumpkin dip.
Or we make it a pumpkin cupcake.
Yeah. It's the consistency is a little, it's not quite so thick to be frosting for a cupcake, but we could figure that out. It's really just Cool Whip and pumpkin butter.
Uh-huh.
And then a little bit of the pumpkin pie seasoning.
Ooh, love.
I just made some.
So Michael, I don't know if you're a baker, but this could maybe put you on your girlfriend's nice list if you make her a bunch of these.
I am such a fan of low effort snacks. So
same.
When you say 2 ingredients, I'm like, that's too many for me. No. a whole one more than one, that's double.
Oh, man.
I don't mix. You have to mix it? I'm out.
Well, thank you so much, Michael, for being on the podcast. We are so thankful to meet you, know you. I just feel like we're three peas in a pod with our love for snacks and food, and we're big fans of your show already. But listeners, if you haven't, go check out Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America. Okay.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a delight.
Of course.
Thanks for letting me talk about all the dumb places I've been. Thanks for recommending me new dumb places.
Please let us know when you go to LJS, Long John Silver's.
Wow. You're like very comfortable with them. You're throwing the breeze.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you.
She had our office take a limo ride to Long John Silver's.
I
need you to know that exists in the world.
The closest one was 45 minutes away, so the only way to get there had to be in a limo.
Hold on. I am going to look up my closest. I'm looking up my closest Long John Silver's, followed by limo rates.
Rentals. Fallon would fly out in order to do that, would you?
I literally would. Right. I would go cross country to do this.
Look, if you'll do that, I'll have you on a Long John Silver's episode.
Okay, great. Wait, what's the closest one? Did you
Gardena, which is like, I don't know, 40 minutes from me. I can do that.
I was going to say, that's not terrible.
Hey, worth it. Worth it.
40 minutes for Los Angeles is like my next door neighbor.
Yeah, we drove 40 minutes for one the closest to us, so same.
And it was glorious. I think I cried, actually, on that trip. Okay, Michael.
I did for very different reasons.
Yeah, we both cried for very different reasons. Okay, Michael, we'll talk soon. Good luck on the show, and can't wait to talk more snacks with you soon.
Thank you. Have a good one.